So, the definition of Rechez Chashag of Yehuda Mesechta Chagiga Daf Tes. Zok the Mishnah, one who did not bring his Chagiga on the first day of Sukkot can do so on any of the remaining days of Yom Tov, including Shmini Atzeres. If the entire Yom Tov passed without him bringing the Chagiga, he can't bring it anymore. About such a situation, the Pasuk says, it's a crooked thing that cannot become straightened, the missing thing that cannot be counted. Manasseh says, a crooked thing that can't be straightened refers to one who has nus with one of the Arayas and thereby creates a Mamzer. It can't be referring to someone who stole, because the value of the stolen object could always be returned. And it could be straightened, so it must be referring to someone who creates a mamzer. Hashem Yechoy says the term crooked refers to something that was initially straight. Therefore, the pasuk refers to a Talmud Chacham who was initially straight, who then went astray from the Torah and therefore becomes crooked. How do we know that the Chagiga of Sukkot could even be born on Shmini Atzeres, which is really not part of Sukkot anymore? Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shmuel said we learn Gzeirah Shavah on the word Atzeres from the seventh day of Pesach to Shmini Atzeres, just like you're allowed to bring the Chagiga on the seventh day of Pesach. The same is true for Shmini Atzeres. Moore says the word is used as Gzeirah Shavah is seemingly unnecessary. Because it's stated there, all the word is there only for the Gzeirah Shavah. Because if this was not the case, since the rule is that we're allowed to ask questions to refute a Gzeirah Shavah in a case where the word is not extra, we would be able to refute this Gzeirah Shavah. But this word is extra, and therefore we cannot refute this Gzeirah Shavah. We would have refuted it by saying Shmini Atzeres is very different in that it's a different Yom Tov from the previous days. Abraisa brings another source for bringing the Chagiga on Shmini Atzeres. On the one hand, the Pasuk says the Chagiga has to be brought on Yom Tov. On the other hand, it seems to say that it can be brought the entire month. The Abraisa says this teaches that it may be brought on Shmini Atzeres, which is beyond Sukkot, but not the rest of the month. Shekhmer, what's meant by saying the Chagiga can be brought after the first day Yom Tov as Tashlumen? Rabbi Yechanan said the carbon is brought after the first day of Yom Tov only as payment for an obligation to bring it on the first day of Yom Tov, whereas Rabbi Yishaya says that each day can be used as payment for any other day. Rabbi Zeira explained the difference between the views is where one was, let's say, lame on the first day of Yom Tov, in which case he's potter from Re'iyah and the Chagiga, and then he was healed on the second day of Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Yechanan, since he was potter on the first day, he remains potter for the rest of Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Yishaya, he becomes chayiv when he becomes healed. In the Gemara, we find that Rabbi Yechanan says if a Nazir who became Tamei and therefore has to bring a carbon on the eighth day of his becoming Tar, if he became tummy again on the night going into the eighth day, although he can't bring a carbon on the next morning, but when he does become tar from the second tummy, he has to bring two carbonos, one for each period of tumah. Chizkiyah had said that he need not bring a second carbon in this case, since he became tummy for the second time at a time when he was unable to bring the first carbon because he had to wait until the morning. And both periods of tumah are therefore considered to be one long period of tumah. Now we see that Rabbi Yechanan holds that although he's not able to bring the carbon at its initial time, he still brings it later on. This contradicts what he just said over here, that since he was potter, he doesn't bring it anymore. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the case of someone becoming Tamei is different because we find the concept of Tashlumen for someone who's Tamei, which is the concept of Pesach Sheni. However, when someone becomes ineligible to bring a carbon for any other reason, like when he was lame for the Chagiga, the concept of Tashlumen will not apply according to Rabbi Yechanan. Rav Papa, yes, this only fits according to the view that Pesach Sheni is Taka Tashlumen for Pesach Rishon. However, according to the view that Pesach Sheni is a new Yom Tov, how we'll explain the contradiction? So rather, Rav Papa said, Rabbi Yechanan holds that the night before the day on which the carbon is to be brought is not considered to be a period of ineligibility. This means that he's already considered to be eligible the night going into the eighth day, and that's why he's subject to bringing the carbon at a later time for Tashlumen. And said if a Zav who had seen seven clean days sees two discharges on the night going into the eighth day and a third discharge on the eighth day, it's considered to be a continuation of the last period of Tumah, and he brings only one carbon for both periods. But if he sees one discharge at night and two by day, it's considered to be a new period of Tumah. Now, according to what we just said, as soon as the night going into the eighth day begins, Rabbi Yechanan should hold that he's already considered to be ineligible to bring a carbon, and as such, it should be considered a separate period of Tumah, and it should need a separate carbon. So why is it when he sees two Re'iyas that night going into the eighth day, it's considered to be a continuation, it should be new. Zachmar, Rabbi Yechanan himself, Taka holds that the person is considered eligible that night. He made the statement regarding the discharges only according to the view that the person is considered to be ineligible on the night going into the eighth day. The chiddush is that even according to that view, when he sees one discharge at night and two by day, it's considered to be a new period of tumah, even though one of them was seen at night. Mishnah said, "Over our regular loy chag, einei chay b'achar yusoy v'al zeh namam v'chulu." Barheye said to Hillel, "The pasuk should more appropriately say if it's a missing that cannot be filled. Why does it say it's something missing that cannot be counted? Rather, he says the pasuk is referring to someone who was invited to join others in a divine mitzvah and didn't join. And that way, he's missing and will be counted. And because he's missing, he will not be counted along with them." Abraisa says this explanation as well. Barheye asked Hillel, "The pasuk says you will return and see the difference between a tzaddik and a rosh, between someone who serves Hashem someone who does not. The pasuk seems repetitive because a tzaddik is someone who serves Hashem and a rasha is someone who does not. So Hillel answered, the one who serves Hashem and the one who does not both refer to fully righteous tzaddikim. The difference is that the one who in the pasuk says who serves Hashem is talking about a tzaddik who reviews his learning 101 times instead of just 100. This one extra review is what earns him the title of someone who serves Hashem. Eliyahu said to Barhehe, a pasuk teaches that Hashem felt that poverty is the most fitting characteristic for the Yidden because it humbles one and brings out the best in him and brings the person closer to Hashem. Mishnah said, Rishim ben Minasya, Oymer v'chulu. The Mishnah seems to say that Rishim ben Minasya says that a crooked thing that cannot be straightened only refers to someone who has nusus, one of the Arayis, and created a mamzer. It suggests if no mamzer was born, it would not be considered to be something which can't be fixed. However, in a Braiser, Rishim ben Minasya says that the pasuk even refers to someone who has nusus with a married woman, who then becomes also to her husband. This is so even though no mamzer is born. Where it says the Mishnah is discussing where one was mezana with an unmarried erva, in which case there is only a lasting effect if a mamzer is born. And the Braiser is discussing where he was mezana with a married erva, and therefore even without a mom, there's a lasting effect if she can no longer be with her husband. Now the Torah's both cases are talking about a married woman, but the Mishnah is discussing where the woman was forced, in which case she should not become also her husband, and there's only a lasting effect if a mamzer is born. And the Braisa is discussing where the woman was a willing participant, in which case she becomes forever also to her husband. The third Torah's both cases are discussing where the married woman was forced. The Mishnah is discussing the wife of a non-Kohen who remains mutter when she's forced, and the Braisa is discussing the wife of a Kohen who, even when she's forced, she becomes also to her husband. Sakamara Pasuk says, to one who goes or comes, there is no peace. Rav darshan this to mean, if someone stops learning Mishnayis and starts only learning Tanakh, he no longer has peace because he can't pass Malacha from Tanakh. Shmuel said this refers to one who stops learning Gemara and only learns Mishnayis, because Mishnayis cannot be properly understood without the Gemara. Yechanan said this refers to someone who stops learning Talmud Yishalmi and only learns Talmud Bavli, because Yishalmi is more easily comprehensible. Some say the other way. That's what he explains in the Pasuk.